preach concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, and I would have you open your Bibles again at Romans, the first chapter that Pastor Chris has so ably read for us. And tonight, I feel very impressed to speak about the good news about the good news. We're going to preach about the good news about the good news. Do you believe in the good news? Do we have some good news to share with people?
Amen.
The good news, the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to draw to your attention some of the designations of the gospel that are used. And maybe four or five of them we'll get through this evening. It doesn't mean there are four or five gospels, but there's some different ways of looking at the gospel, certain different emphasis that these titles of the gospel can show us. And so, if there's ever a day and age in which the gospel needs to be preached with clarity, it is the day and age in which we live. And let me just say this. Every pastor I've talked to and his granny have insisted that they preach the gospel. And I don't believe a single word of it with meeting so many people. Oh, yes, you preach the gospel. Oh, yes, we preach. Do you really? Is Christ the center of your message? Is Christ the theme of your church? Christ crucified and exalted? Well, yeah, we mention them. No, we're here to preach the gospel. Our churches are to be gospel churches, saturated with the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know that the gospel means good news? Looking at me in a very serious tone of voice. If you know it means good news, say amen. Listen, it means good news. And that's part of the essential makeup of the gospel. It is fundamentally good news. Good news. Now, I've had preachers tell me, oh, what are you preaching tonight? Oh, I'm going to preach a gospel message. What are you going to say to them? Tell them if they don't get saved, they're going to go to hell. By the way, that's true. I'm not knocking the lake of fire. That's there. But folks, I'm going to preach you good news. You're going to hell. That makes no sense to me. Makes no sense whatsoever. It is not good news to tell me I'm going to hell. But tell me about the God-man who came from heaven. He was clothed with humanity, and he lived for me and died for me and rose again for me. That's good news. And in that revelation of God, I meet God. In that revelation of Jesus, I meet joy and life and freedom. And somebody said amen. Now, back home in Ireland, especially in the north of Ireland, pastors, you might have encountered them. We have a group called the Brethren. They were called the Plymouth Brethren. And if you don't know them, that's all right. But there was this happened. In Belfast, this group, the Plymouth Brethren, now they're good Christian people, don't get me wrong, they're great people, many of them have been great Bible teachers, but they don't have any pastors, they have elders only, and on Sunday night they have what they call gospel meetings, and there was a wee brother, a smallish, diminutive kind of fella. He was a good enough preacher, but he went around all the different halls. He was asked to preach year in, year out, and all he did was preach on damnation. That was all he did. And the elders of the Brethren Church got together and they said, "Brother, would you not think about telling us something else?" He says, "Well, what?" He said, "Just preaching something." "Well, what could I preach on?" He said, "Well, preach on John 3:16. How about that? John 3:16. So he said, all right. So that Sunday night he shows up. He says, "Let's everybody turn to John 3:16 and read together." He said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish. Let's pause here for a moment. Oh, beloved, the gospel is good news, and I want to tonight tell you some of the good news that is bound up in the message of Christ and Him crucified. Listen, I deserve hell. I deserve the lake of fire. So do you.
Yes.
But the good news is that God has done something about my predicament and your predicament. God did it.
Yeah.
It's good news. And so, the first designation I want to take us to this evening is Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Romans chapter 1 and verse 1. That's a beautiful scripture, isn't it? It was so well read earlier. Romans 1, verse 1. Now look at this. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. That's precious, isn't it? It's God's gospel. It's God's gospel. Why is it called God's gospel? It's God's gospel because God is the very source of it. The Father is the very, very source of the gospel. The gospel, the good news, comes from the heart of God.
Yeah.
It's the Father's heart that is being revealed through the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you think that he's Jesus over here and the Father's over here and the Father, he doesn't like us? And Jesus says, oh, no, don't, I'll do something for them. No, I'll go to the cross. That's the Father's heart that is revealed in Jesus. That's the gospel of God. It's good news from God and it's good news about God. Do you know that when you're reading about Jesus and fellowshipping with him in the Word, you're fellowshipping with God? Do you want to know how God thinks? Read about Jesus. Read Jesus. And so, God so loved the world. God so loved the world that he came. And then this is manifested, the love of God towards us, because he sent his only son into the world that we might live through him. 1 John 4:9. And then 1 John 4:10. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and he gave his son, sent his son to be a propitiation. That's an offering that satisfies the wrath of God. God is love and God has justice. And God must punish sin. You say, I don't like a God who doesn't punish sin. Let me tell you, friend, I don't like a God who wouldn't punish sin.
That's right. Amen.
Because he wouldn't be holy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God so loved us. This is the heart of God in the gospel. And so, since it's God's gospel, he wants his gospel to be kept pure. He doesn't want it mixed with man's rules and regulations and theories and laws. He doesn't want his gospel mixed with religious ordinances and additions. Jesus plus something. No, this good news is about God. And it's from God. Oh, it's not about man. Do we have water? It's the gospel is, look, we are the beneficiaries of the gospel, but the gospel's not about us. You can have a better life now, you can have your best life now. It's nothing to do with me.
Amen.
That's not the gospel.
Amen.
It's about him.
Yes.
It's about him. And the good news is that not only does God love us, but that he has done something for us and our predicament. Let Mr. Buddha do something like that.
Let Mr. Muhammad do something like that. Our God loves us and clothed himself with human flesh and lived for us and died for us. Does that not make you want to worship him?
Amen.
Thank you. A cup of cold water in the name of the Lord will not lose its reward. You'll have to excuse me while I sip. Oh, that's good. Thank you. Let me ask you, before I go any farther, have you personally received Jesus Christ as your Savior? Yeah. Anyway, look, this is between you and the Lord. I'm not doing altar calls. But I urge you, if you're sitting on the fence and you're not sure, you kind of believe, listen, go to him as your sin bearer. You're a sinner. We're all sinners. And nobody's judging you for being a sinner. We don't. Because we're all sinners. Yeah. But this sinner, Miles McKee, has gone to the cross and embraced God's gift for my salvation. I urge you, if you have not, to do the same. But we've got to move along here. Look at verse 9 with me. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. Oh, there's another interesting designation. It's the gospel of God, and it's the gospel of his Son. Why is it called the gospel of his Son? Well, it's so called because he is the theme of the gospel. He is the center of the gospel. He is the circumference of the gospel. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the apostles, their great cry was, we preach Christ and him crucified. We preach not ourselves. Oh, that America would rise up a generation of preachers who could say, we preach not ourselves. Christ. Christ the Lord. Anyway, if the person of Christ is not being preached, the work of Christ is not being preached, if the offices of Christ are not being preached, where then is the good news? You can be preaching moralism and all manner of things, and that's not the gospel. That's not the gospel. Unless we are emphasizing who he is, what he's done for us, all about him, we're not gospel men and women. Somebody once said, Jesus didn't come merely to preach the gospel, but so that we would have a gospel to preach. And what is the gospel?
I'll tell you what the gospel is, brother. You must be born again.
Listen, you must be born again. Do you know why you must be born again? Because you must be born again. But that's not the gospel! Being born again is the work, regeneration of the Holy Spirit. It is not the doing, dying, and rising again of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel of his Son. The good news of his Son. Some preacher says, well, I'm going to preach a good gospel message on how to live right. Well, you might be preaching a good enough message, but it's not gospel.
That's right.
It's not gospel. How to live right. Have you ever heard of John Bierridge? John Bierridge? Yeah. He was a great old preacher in the 1700s in England. Now, he was preaching and he wasn't saved. And then when he got saved, he became a gospel man and his ministry changed. But he said before he was saved, he preached on morality so much in his parish. He preached for so long on morality, he said, that there wasn't one moral person left in his parish. The only way to get morality is through the gospel.
Yes.
Not through the law. Live right and don't do this. And don't taste it. Handle not it. Can't believe it. Are you a Baptist? Oh! Scolding and picking. That's not the gospel. It's not the gospel. And so, the lovely Son of God, the God-man. You know, I'm just going to confess something. I want to be a gospel preacher. But I doubt, Chris, that I am yet. What amazing. What an amazing person this is, the Lord Jesus. And he's in glory. And he's on the throne. And he's before the throne. And he's interceding. And he's coming back. And he's all these wonderful. He's the sovereign one. And then you turn around and he's your friend. He's right beside you. Concerned about you. Loves you. Loves you so much that he went to the cross. We become so familiar with that. We say, yeah, we know that. Now tell us something that'll tickle our fancy. Oh no, listen, as we behold the gospel, we get motivated to live right. It's good news about the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. How do we have redemption? Through his blood. Redemption, purchased, bought and paid for. You can get up in the morning, you're bought and paid for. You don't have to start saying, okay, how do you enter into your presence today? Oh, how do I earn favor with you today? You're bought and purchased and paid for. Ransomed. Yeah. Isn't it good news? And Jesus Christ has come to save sinners. And if you believe that he's died as a ransom, all I can say is amen, brother, amen, sister. Yes, we've got the gospel of God. We've got the gospel of his Son. And then Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. A lot of the new versions, and I'm not an anti-new version. Well, some of them I am, aren't they? But like, it just says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God on himself. No. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Again, this is building upon, it's the gospel of God, it's the gospel of his Son, it's the gospel of Christ. Christ, the anointed one. Anointed by the Father, appointed by the Father, to what? To rescue his people. He's not that kind of God who'd leave us in our lost state. He came after us and he loves us. And he's here to rescue us amongst many things. And Paul is writing to the church at Rome. And he wants to go to the church in Rome and preach. Now, did you know that Rome in those days was a great slave city? But Paul doesn't want to go there to preach against slavery. Rome was an immoral place, a horribly immoral place. But Paul's not going to Rome to preach against immorality. That's not it. He's going to Rome to preach the gospel of Christ, for it is the dunamis, the explosive power that will absolutely transform society. Yes. What will? The gospel of Christ. We're either going to be gospel preachers or moralistic preachers. And unfortunately, there's a lot of moralistic preaching that goes on. Paul, what are you going to preach? What are you going to preach? Are you not going to tell them to stop going to war and amassing arms? Why didn't you tell them that? No, he's going to preach the gospel. The gospel, the gospel, the gospel. The gospel of Christ, the anointed one, the appointed one. The Father has designated and designed that in his anointed one there is forgiveness, there's redemption, there's freedom. There's a removal of guilt and a clear conscience. I want to go, I'm not meddling, but I really want you to realize something. A clear conscience is yours through the gospel. Well, but brother, you don't know what I did. I really failed God. I need to talk to you about it. No, you don't need to talk to me about it. You talk to your high priest. And that high priest has shed his blood for your sins, that wickedness that happened in the dark. And now old sins are casting long shadows. You don't have to be tormented with that. Your sins and iniquities I will remember no more.
Amen.
That's the kind of love that we are loved with this evening. Isn't it wonderful? That's wonderful. Have you trusted him yet? He went to the cross and he died. And you say, but brother, my situation's very, very hard. You know, and I'm trying to get more religious and go to more meetings and no, it's the gospel of Christ, it's the dynamite. Absorb yourself with Jesus and who he is. It's the dynamite. What he has done, he'll get rid of all that guilt and that bad conscience. And so we come to him, and just as we are. Sinners. Died in the world, sinners. Now, if you won't come to God like that, you'll not see salvation. I can't explain it all, but it's like Zacchaeus was up the tree and the Lord said, come down. I don't save you up the tree, you come down. But anyway, we come and we receive him by faith, simple faith, but we've got to move along. I'm going to take you out of Romans and take you into Acts chapter 20. And we'll read verse 24. None of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Oh, is this another gospel? No. This is the same gospel. And the same gospel, the true gospel, testifies of the grace of God. This is more good news. Listen, if the gospel is grace, then it's not works. It's not human merit. It's not human effort. If it's something you do, it is not good news. If you have, the only way that you can get right with God is by doing something, that's not good news. And I know that you know these expressions. I use them all the time in ministering to people and explaining religion versus the gospel. That religion is do this, do that, or don't do this and don't do that. And the gospel is not do, it's done.
Amen.
Done. Done. The religion is law. True Christianity is grace. Grace, grace, grace. And it brushes away, grace brushes away all our pretensions to godliness. In other words, we are saved not based on our performance. Oh, this is such liberty. You do not have to perform before the Father to get his acceptance.
Amen.
The performance that he's into is the performance of the Son. Amen. Do you ever notice how he uses superlatives when he talks about the Son? He says in the Jordan River, this is my Son in whom I'm pleased. No, he doesn't. He says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased. No, in whom I'm well pleased.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're going to try and work to get his favor, well, I don't work, brother, but I'm telling you, I read the Bible 3 hours a day, and good for you. I wish I did. But if you think you're gaining favor from heaven, then you're a rival to Jesus Christ. You've set yourself up as a polar opposite of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's only in Christ that we have this full acceptance. And anybody who thinks they can get to heaven by their natural rights has neither understood the holiness of God or the wretchedness of their own sin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you know what's a good exercise? And I've encouraged the folks in Ireland several times to do it. Is take a blank piece of paper and get a pen, obviously, or a pencil or whatever. And you say, write down, I, and then put your name. Chris Sidwell. I, Chris Sidwell. I, Miles McKee. Deserve hell. Now pause on that. That's what we do deserve. Jesus Christ, then you continue. Jesus Christ came and took my hell.
Yeah.
And then there's nothing left for me to do.
Amen.
And then, and it's all because of grace.
Yes.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
Beautiful. It's all because of grace. Well, somebody says, I don't, Brother McKee, I don't deserve hell. Well, I say it again, it means you have not, if you think that, you, it means you have not seen the wretchedness of your own sin and the holiness of God. The holiness of God. Christ went to the cross and became a curse for us. We were to hell deserving sinners. And he became a curse. And we're freely forgiven. We're given eternal life. And it's all because of that which we do not deserve. It's grace. It's grace. It's grace. It's grace. Oh, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Check it out. Psalm 103. It's in there around verse 12. Our sins are cleansed. 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 Behold the Lamb of God. He's taken them away. Your sins taken away. Why are you hoking about and poking about and lifting them up and looking at them? They're over. They're taken away because of the Lamb of God. You'll have to forgive me. I get excited. But
Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Oh, he's wonderful, isn't he? Oh, now, my brother. You're saying that in Christ everything's been done? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You're saying that in Christ there's nothing for me to do? That's right. It's done. But surely there's something I can contribute. Yes, there is. It's your sin. Contribute it. He died for sinners. If you're not... I tell you what, I was witnessing to a woman one day in Ireland. And she says, but I've never sinned. Yeah, serious. And that's not unusual. Never sinned. So I says, well, I've got some news for you then. If you've never sinned, Christ didn't die for you. She says, what? I said, yeah, he died only for sinners. He died for sinners. And if you're not a sinner, you have no room, no business being at the cross. But if you're a sinner, you go to the cross and you say, behold the Lamb, my Lamb. He took away my sins. Thank you, Jesus. Isn't he wonderful? We sing, I don't know whether we sing it here, I used to sing it all the time. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. But I never really believed it. I used to think, Jesus paid 99%. Almost all to him I owe. No, he paid it all.
Yes.
Sin had left a crimson stain and he washed it white as snow. He didn't pay 99%. He paid 100%. And so now it's grace. It's not works. I'd love to see honest answers. Don't give me any answer, but how many people here enjoy being saved? I think it's great.
Mm-hmm.
I really do.
Amen.
I have a great life.
Amen.
I'm happy to be alive.
Yes.
Because there's no separation.
No.
There's no condemnation. The Father looks at me and he sees the Son. He looks at the Son and he sees me. And I'm only from Ireland. It's wonderful. It's good news.
Yes.
Don't have to impress him anymore. He's already impressed with Jesus. And since it's grace, it's no more works. I'm going to end off here tonight by telling you a story about two theologians who were out in a rowboat. This is out in Ireland. A fella, they've paid to get the rowboat, and the oarsman is rowing away. And saying, and these two theologians are saying, well, one's saying, no, it's all of grace. It's got to be all of grace. No, but James says, you see, you know, and you got to go to, and they're back and forward, and that's works. Says, well, no, it's grace. It's out, it's works. And eventually, after about half an hour of listening to them, the oarsman said, now, gentlemen, he says, I hope that you wouldn't mind, but I have been listening to your conversation with great interest now. If you'd be so kind, I know you're a very educated man, but let me give you a little illustration. They said, oh, go ahead. And they said, now I put the right oar in the water. And I tug it like that. See what's happening? We're going round in a circle. But I take it out and I put the other oar on the left side and I start to row. You see what happens? See, we're going round in a circle. And this one oar is grace. And this other oar is works. And you'll only go in circles if you don't have both. Because watch, when it's both grace and works together, look, we're headed for the other shore. Which is the most lousy illustration I have ever heard in my life. It would be all right if we were sailing to heaven in a rowboat, but we're not going to heaven in a rowboat. We're going to heaven carried by the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave us life for us and died for us, was buried for us, rose again. He's praying for us. He's coming back for us, and he's our Savior. Amen.
Amen.
And that is the gospel truth this evening. I'll give it back to you, brother.